From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Christ the Mighty Conqueror, part of this series in the book of Joshua. The text is found in chapter 11. In this message, preached on Easter Sunday in 1996, Dr. Cairns is pointing out a number of parallels between Joshua and our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that Joshua's mission was a picture of Christ's mission. Each one had one great mission, to secure the promised land and to lead God's people into it. Then Joshua's conquest of the heathen Canaanites is a picture of Christ's triumph over his enemies. Both Joshua and Christ faced mighty opposition. While Joshua faced human foes, the Lord Jesus contended with all the powers of hell. With invincible might, Christ defeated the prince of darkness. The passage records Joshua's adherence to the commands which Moses had given regarding the land. Similarly, the Lord Jesus honored the law of God as he undertook to accomplish salvation for his people. By his death on the cross, Christ earned a perfect righteousness for all who trust in him, so that the demands of the law were met fully. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in Mark chapter 2 and verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Faith is full of inventions. The house was full. A crowd blocked up the door. But faith found a way of getting at the Lord and placing the palsied man before him. If we cannot get sinners where Jesus is by ordinary methods, we must use extraordinary ones. It seems, according to Luke 5:19, that a tiling had to be removed, which would make dust and cause a measure of danger to those below. But where the case is very urgent, we must not mind running some risks and shocking some proprieties. Jesus was there to heal, and therefore, fall what might, faith ventured all, so that her poor paralyzed charge might have his sins forgiven. Oh, that we had more daring faith among us! Cannot we, beloved, seek it this morning for ourselves and for our fellow workers? And will we not try today to perform some gallant act for the love of souls and the glory of the Lord? The world is constantly inventing. Genius serves all the purposes of human desire. Cannot faith invent too, and reach by some new means the outcasts who lie perishing around us? It was the presence of Jesus which excited victorious courage in the forebearers of the palsied man. Is not the Lord among us now? Have we seen his face for ourselves this morning? Have we felt his healing power in our own souls? If so, then through door, through window, or through roof, let us, breaking through all impediments, labor to bring poor souls to Jesus. All means are good and decorous when faith and love are truly set on winning souls. If hunger for bread can break through stone walls, surely hunger for souls is not to be hindered in its efforts. O Lord, make us quick to suggest methods of reaching thy poor sin-sick ones, and bold to carry them out at all hazards.
Well,
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Death itself loomed as his enemy, but thank God Christ conquered them all. This is why he came into the world. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, and thank God he did. Paul puts it in Colossians 2:15 in a beautiful way. He says that he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. He fully defeated every power of hell against him, even death itself, because he rose from the dead. We have been singing today some of the great hymns of the resurrection. I pity those churches that are tied to a popish church calendar. that can only sing hymns of the resurrection on Easter Sunday. I'm glad that for us, every Lord's Day is a resurrection day. And we can sing these great hymns as we do any time of the year, as the Lord leads and burdens our heart to do it. But what great hymns of truth they are. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Death could not hold its prey. He tore the bars away, and up from the grave he arose. Never let those words lose their vital freshness. Never let this truth lose its New Testament importance and power in your life. This is the very Gibraltar of Christianity. This is the great impregnable rock upon which every fury of the enemy must spend itself and finally be defeated. Christ is risen. He defeated death. We're told by Peter in Acts 2:24, it was not possible that he should be holden of death. It was not possible that death could continue its grip on him who is the Prince of Life. I quoted already from Hebrews 2 that Christ took part of flesh and blood in order that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Christ has changed the tomb forever for all his people. He has changed death forever for all his people. For those who believe in Christ, death is no longer the sentence of God against them. It is no longer the first installment of the wrath of God in the second death, in outer darkness and alienation from God and hell. Death has lost its sting because to the believer it is now but the exit from this world and the entrance into glory. Jesus Christ has conquered death itself. And as Joshua faced great giants, so did the Savior. All the burden and guilt of our sin opposed him. Every sin was a giant he had to slay, or a crime whose punishment he had to drink. He bore our sins. He shouldered their enormous burden. He took on himself their awful guilt. He paid by his own blood their dreadful penalty. He didn't wilt under that load. He didn't shirk the terrible suffering. No, he was manifested to take away our sins. And so he did. Those sins were giant sins. They were damning sins. They were sins that marked us with the mark of the wrath of God forever. Thank God Christ did not stop short of a complete victory over sin. For as Peter says, he his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. Once in the end of the world, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Not only that, but he did so in a very particular manner, as our Bible reading illustrates. Joshua's careful fulfillment of the commands of Moses pictures Christ's satisfaction of the law. Notice how Joshua chapter 11 keeps repeating Joshua's obedience to Moses. Verse 12, the last line, he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Verse 15, he left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 20, the last line, that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And then verse 23, Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses. Now, those are not accidental references. Those are important things. When the Lord keeps repeating something, it is that we should give attention to it. Joshua not only defeated Jabin and his hosts, he not only took possession of the land, but he did so in a way that honored the law. He did so in perfect compliance to the commands of Moses, the lawgiver. And in that, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly satisfied the law. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." As he started out his ministry, he said to John the Baptist, "It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Think of the testimony of the New Testament on this matter. Galatians 4:4, Christ was made under the law. Romans 5:19, as by one man's disobedience many were made or constituted sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made or be constituted righteous. You see, this is Christ's satisfaction of the law. Thus, when he died on the cross, he silenced forever the law's condemnation of his believing people. Colossians 2:14 tells me that Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What's that talking about? It's talking about the law of God. What was the handwriting of ordinances? The Ten Commandments, the moral law, every single line of which condemns the sinner. People who tell me that they're trying to keep the Ten Commandments in order to get to heaven are telling me they know nothing about the gospel. The surest way to hell is to say, "I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments to get to heaven." Keeping the Ten Commandments is impossible. There's not one person here who has not come under condemnation as a breaker of the law of God. Doesn't matter how religious you are, what church you belong to, where you've been baptized, how you've been baptized, you have not been a keeper of God's law, but a breaker of God's law. And if we offend in one point, James tells us, we are guilty of all. Lawbreakers. The voice of the law is a voice that clamors for judgment. The law of God cannot allow sin to go unpunished. God cannot simply overlook sin, pretend it never happened. He cannot adopt some lighter attitude, some easier way of dealing with sin. God is infinitely holy and just, and his entire nature demands that sin be fully punished. Thank God, Christ, our great Redeemer, our substitute, our sacrifice, stood bearing the guilt of our sin. As the head to the body, so Christ our head bore all that the body deserved. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Can I put this to you very simply? God has not forgotten his law. God has not abrogated his law, even for a Christian. But for a Christian, listen to me carefully, the only place God sees his law is nailed to the cross
Christ. There, satisfaction was complete. There, righteousness in all its perfection not only met the standard of the law's precept, but paid the full price of its penalty, and so satisfied it, as Joshua was careful to do what Moses commanded, so the Lord Jesus Christ fully satisfied the law. I want to tell you today that that is the genius and the glory of the gospel. That's what sets this gospel apart from every religion of man and every theory and every theology of man. Across the world today, millions are doing their best to please God and thus earn salvation. It can't be done. It cannot be done. If you have come into this meeting this morning under the delusion that you can do something to earn your way to heaven, to make an impression on God so that God will love you and God will receive you, I want you to be disabused of that idea without delay, for it will surely wreck and ruin your soul. It's no gospel to tell a sinner already dead in sin, keep the law and you'll get to heaven. What gospel is that? It's not good news. That's bad news. But oh, I want to tell you the good news. Christ died for our sins. Christ rose again because he had accomplished our justification. Christ's power is saving power because he has fully satisfied the law. As Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. By believing in Jesus, you obtain a perfect righteousness, even his righteousness, and you stand complete before God in him who has perfectly satisfied the law.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.